You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is We All Need Jesus, Part 2. My scripture is Romans 3, 20 through 25 and 31, which states, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested or obvious, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, or to gain the favor or goodwill of, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yes, we establish or make firm the law. My text is Romans 3, 23 through 24, which states, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Paul argues from God's glory to prove that justification must be expected only by faith in Christ's righteousness. There is no justification by the works of the law. Must guilty man then remain eternally under wrath? Is there no hope? Is the wound become incurable because of transgression? No, blessed be God, it is not. There is another way laid open for us. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested now under the gospel. Justification may be obtained without the keeping of Moses' law, and this is called the righteousness of God. Righteousness of his ordaining and providing and accepting. Righteousness he confers upon us as the Christian armor is called the armor of God, Ephesians 6:11. Now concerning this righteousness of God, observe that it is manifested or obvious. The gospel way of justification is a highway, a plain way. It is laid open for us. The brazen serpent is lifted up upon the pole. We are not left to grope our way in the dark, but it is obvious to us. Jews and Gentiles, if they believe, stand upon the same level and are alike welcome to God through Christ, for there is no difference. It is offered to all in general. The gospel excludes none that do not exclude themselves. But now, how is this for God's glory? It is for the glory of his grace, justified freely by his grace. It is by his grace, not by the grace wrought in us, confounding justification and sanctification, but by the gracious favor of God to us, without any merit in us so much as far seen. And to make it the more emphatic, He says it is freely by his grace, to show that it must be understood of grace in the most proper and genuine sense. The grace of God communicated to us comes freely. Freely. It is free grace. Mere mercy. Nothing in us to deserve such favors. No, it is all through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It comes freely to us, but Christ bought it and paid dearly for it, which yet is so ordered as not to take away from the honor of free grace. Christ's purchase is no obstruction to the freeness of God's grace. Number two, it is for the glory of his justice and righteousness, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, to gain the favor or goodwill of. Jesus Christ is the great propitiation, a propitiatory sacrifice. It is our throne of grace, in and through whom atonement is made for sin, and our persons and performances are accepted of God. And this faith in the business of justification hath a special regard to the blood of Christ, as that which made the atonement, for such was the divine appointment, that without blood there should be no remission, and no blood but his would do it effectually. Through the forbearance of God, divine patience has kept us out of hell, that we may have space to repent and to get to heaven. Christ declares his righteousness, first in the propitiation itself. Never was there such a demonstration of the justice and holiness of God as there was in the death of Christ. God hates sin, when nothing less than the blood of Christ will satisfy for it. From all this, he draws this conclusion, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Though we do say that the law will not justify us, yet we do not therefore say that it is given in vain or is of no use to us. No, we establish or make firm the right use of the law and secure its standing by fixing it on the right basis. The law is still of use to convince us of what is past and to direct us for the future. Though we cannot be saved by it as a covenant, yet we own it and submit to it as a rule in the hand of the mediator, subordinate or in lower order of the law of grace, and so are so far from overthrowing that we establish the law. Let those consider this who deny the obligation of the moral law on believers. FDA may finally ban artificial red dye from beverages, candy, and other foods. A decision on red number 3, the synthetic coloring made from petroleum, could come in the next few weeks. December 7, 2024, by Caitlin Sullivan. There is something called the precautionary principle, which is basically the thought that it's better to be safe than sorry, said Gerald Mandy, an adjunct professor of nutrition at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, who is also a former FDA senior advisor and former deputy undersecretary for food safety at the Agricultural Department. The U.S. wears it as a badge of honor that we don't adhere to it. Other countries do not want to take a risk, even in data on potential harms is not conclusive, he said. These food dyes only serve one function in food, to make them look pretty, so you and I want to buy it. It's a marketing tool, said Thomas Galligan, principal scientist for food additives and supplements at the Center of Science in the Public Interest. What does the science say about the artificial food dyes? Some experts and consumer advocate groups argue there is enough evidence showing some color additives may cause harm, particularly in children, to warrant a ban. But the FDA maintains that its approved artificial food dyes are safe when used in accordance with the agency's recommendations. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived and was crucified on the cross to be a propitiation, bringing us back into good relationship with God. Therefore, let us have faith in him and live for him and receive eternal life. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is material gods. Money and possessions can do great good when they are used wisely and kept in proper perspective. Some of the great people of the Bible were very rich. Abraham, Isaac, and Solomon were perhaps the richest men in their day. God's quarrel is not with material goods, but with material gods. Materialism has become the god of too many of us. Our material possessions are elevated to the central place in our lives, and we give them the attention only God deserves. The Bible teaches that the preoccupation with material possessions is a form of idolatry, and God hates idolatry. It poisons every other phase of our lives, including our family life. The problem, the Bible says, is not with money itself, but with our love of money. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, according to 1 Timothy 6:10. No one can serve two masters, according to Matthew 6:24. And here is a question for your consideration. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Don't allow money or anything to take God's rightful place in your life. Realize that all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But the good news is that God loves you and gives you the opportunity to come to him, acknowledge your sin, and trust him as your Lord and Savior. Will you respond to his call? Will you believe and receive? Believe Christ died for you and by faith receive him into your life. Remember, God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, who died between two criminals, was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early on the third day, he arose with all power in his hands so that you may have everlasting life. So put God first. Trust and obey his word. And use your resources to honor God and help people. Until next time, my beloved, stay encouraged by knowing that God loves you. And when God is in it, there is no limit. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
Something new is going on, and the show is called New Day with your host, Rhett Palmer. That's me. And you can listen right here on WCNO 89.9 on your FM dial at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., and 3 p.m. I'm Rhett Palmer, and it's a new day.